Part of the family of God, and God has told me that He'll supply all my needs, and He'll never forsake us. Man, turn to Proverbs chapter 17, verse 22. Familiar passage to a lot of you, and we'll use this as a text for a topical message this morning. And Proverbs chapter 17, verse 22. Proverbs chapter 17, verse 22. A merry heart doeth good like medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones. A merry heart doeth good like medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, bless the word this morning as only you can. Hide it behind the cross. We pray this morning we would be an encouragement again, to our church family and the visitors that are here, and also to those who will be going back to school tomorrow. Well, thank you for what you'll do. In Jesus' name, amen. A merry heart doth good like medicine, but a broken spirit drieth up the bones. I think about all the bad news that we come across today. It's amazing how much bad news that we are confronted with every day. We think about the bad news in the government and the corruption and deceit and the lying and the socialist agenda and everything that's going on, the hearings and lawsuits and backbiting and just on and on and on, the immorality that has been allowed to run rampant and wild in our nation today, whether it's gay marriage or transgender or abortion and so many other things going on. And you know, and even what happened to glory and honor and freedom and what happened to capitalism that was set up on a pedestal, by the way, should be, and everybody should work for what they make and so forth. And what about free speech? And we see so much going on today. We have the alt-right and we have the alt-left, and we have the government trying to divide all of us and put us in groups. And you say, you think the government's responsible for that? I think they're responsible for a lot of it. And again, as I said last Sunday, we're all a part of the human race. There's not races in the Bible. There's only one race. And we should love our neighbor as ourselves. And by the way, just love your neighbor. Love the person down the street. Treat them as you'd want to be treated. There's so much negative news out there. We get bad news about our health. And, you know, cancer kills more children between the ages of 3 to 14 than anything else. One out of every three Americans will have cancer. One out of every five deaths in America are caused by cancer. Approximately 500,000 people die of cancer every year. AIDS, arthritis, I mean, I could name it. And think about family and the bad news there and the divorce rate and separations. And we read all the time about kids and who are being beaten and chained to a floor. I just can't get over that. And starved. And just amazing, the drugs and the alcohol and the legalization of drugs. Yeah. Whoever thought we'd come to that? Yeah. And, I mean, even talking about that in Texas, legalizing marijuana, and what a bunch of idiots. I mean, it makes absolutely no common sense. We live in a world with no common sense. You say, preacher, you shouldn't call people, I know I shouldn't call names, but, oh, Jesus called them snakes and vipers, talking about the religious leaders. I guess idiots, not. A lot of bad news out there, really is. I mean, if you watch Fox News, good night. Hopefully you're not watching those other, anyway, but Fox News is going that way too, by the way. Just get ready. The change of leadership there. Fast-paced world. We have families under a constant pressure and all the go busyness of this world. And, you know, all the technology we have that you thought would slow things down and make things easier has only sped things up. And I'm telling you, parents, we have to be very careful when it comes to our children and becoming too busy. By the way, if you're too busy to come to church, you're too busy. And if you let other things get in the way of that, you're too busy. And that includes sports. We think about bad news at school and schools for the most part around the country. We have some good conservative school districts here, but around the country, many schools no longer are majoring on reading, writing, and arithmetic. Instead, they're majoring on social agendas. And we think about that. I'm telling you, if you've got your head in the sand and you're not keeping up and doing the reading, you are you're just putting blinders on because it's here. And it's been here, I know, for many years, but it's just so much more concentrated now. And we have the social agenda being taught to 4- and 5-year-olds in school districts in some of the states here in America, the alternative lifestyle and all the sex education and many of the other things. When I was in school, you could opt out of everything. And now in the state of California, there are many of those classes you cannot opt out of as a parent with your kids. And you say, well, that's in California, Pastor, but it always makes its way across the country. And you say, well, the school district around here, and that's up north, and that's up, well, Fort Worth ISD, the school superintendent came in and just arbitrarily, without any input from the school board, and put in the transgender agenda in the Fort Worth ISD. Now, he had to back off of it once he was confronted, and thank the Lord for that. Keller ISD almost did it. And you've got to be careful. I'm telling you, think it's of California, but it's here as well. It's here as well. Public school teachers, it's here as well. Keep us informed. Keep everybody up to date. And let's do our very best to continue to protect our children. And it's a shame that you have to be careful whether or not you're going to send your little girl into a bathroom or not. And again, we just got a country of lacks many people who lack common sense. And the social experiment and the bad news and so forth. And the bad news when it comes to the news, you turn on the hurricanes. And boy, we're sure praying for those in South Texas today. And my wife and our family spent a couple of years vacationing in Port Aransas. And boy, it was just devastated. And so be in prayer for them. But we think about the floods and the hurricanes and the tornadoes and the daily bombardment of bad news and sad news and the killings and Russia and North Korea and Afghanistan and Iraq and Iran and you just name it. And it's unnerving sometimes. It's depressing many times. And there are times when I have to, you know, not look at my Fox News app. And though I do like to keep up with what's going on, but and then we many times do have news that's one-sided. And by the way, one-sided in that it only reports the negative and very, very few times reports the positive. And you got to be careful. Sometimes also we have such bad news in churches, and we got to be careful. Even our church can become a place of negativism, and we can get unbalanced when it comes to bad news. Even in our prayer requests sometimes, I think about that every once in a while when we're taking prayer requests, and it's all just bad news and bad news and bad news. And I'm thankful for those who do stand up, and you ought to stand up and say, Lord, preacher, I just want to give a praise. And we think about Miss Bobby Van Fleet this week, and she went to the doctor and had CT scan. It was clear. Amen? And then she found out that what was hurting down there in her throat was she has an infection in her throat. And let's pray hard that infection goes away quickly, and she's able to eat better. And I'm just praying for her. But we need to hear positive news. We need to hear good news. And it is good to give other prayer requests other than just my uncle's brother's sister is sick and about to die. And so we ought to give glory and praise to the Lord. As Christians, we must be against things. And sometimes when we come to church, as I've just done here in the last 5 minutes, but on purpose, we can be against everything. And we can be known as a church that's against everything. And we can be known as Christians who are against everything. And we got to be careful when it comes to that. And we can regulate positive and to secondary position and or eliminate it altogether. We got to be careful when it comes to that. We could be guilty of encouraging bad news. I don't want to be accused of just sucking on lemons all the time. But a lot of Christians look like they do. I enjoy hearing testimonies. I enjoyed Brother McNeil's testimony last Sunday morning. And we're trying really hard here in our church to get back to doing that. And at least once or twice a month, having somebody stand up and just give a testimony of how good God's been and how good God's been to their family. And it's an amazing thing. The good always outweighs the bad. And that little song, Count Your Blessings, Name Them One by One. And it'll reveal what God has done. And so we've got to be careful when it comes to that. And there's bad news everywhere. In a day of much bad news, we must realize that we have good news. And that's the title of the message this morning, Good News. I did all that negative to get you way down here so that I can say to you, we have the good news. Our world needs good news. Again, that bombardment and the things that we are surrounded by every day, we need some good news. We have the good news. It's the good news of the Bible, the good news of salvation. I think about, I'm going to turn over to Psalm 19 real quick, but the good news, the Bible. By the way, the gospel is the good news. We think about Psalm 19 says, the law of the Lord is perfect. This is verse 7, Psalm 19. We read the first six verses Wednesday night. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. Now look at verse 10. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than the honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. I think about the law of the Lord. The Bible is the good news. I hold it in my hand. You have it there in your lap. It's sweeter. It's sweeter than honey. It is a light in a dark and negative world. It's like flipping a light switch on. And the Bible says the word of the Lord is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. It's like a cool water in a dry and dusty land. And we ought to rejoice and be glad, the Bible says. We ought to have a merry heart. And we ought to have that merry heart on a daily basis. Again, a merry heart doeth good like medicine, but a broken spirit drieth up the bones. And I'm telling you, you choose every morning whether to have a merry heart or not. You really do. You make that choice. And we ought to get up in the mornings and, again, pray that simple prayer. Lord, help me to live in the spirit, not the flesh today. Help me to live in light of your return and start out our day with reading our Bibles and praying and start out with that merry heart. Psalm 9, verse 2 says, I will be glad and rejoice in thee. I will sing praise to thy name, O thou most high. Psalm 9, verse 14 says, I will rejoice in thy salvation. Psalm 20, we will rejoice in thy salvation and in thy name of our God will we set up our banners. The Lord fulfill all thy petitions. And I could go on and on and on in the book of Psalms especially about rejoice, rejoice. We ought always to rejoice, Philippians says. Rejoice evermore. And so we ought to, as Christians, live a joyful life. Jesus Christ came to give us life more abundantly. And there in John he says we can have that joy. That joy unspeakable and full of glory. Again, as Christians, we ought to be the most happy people on the earth. The most joyful people on the earth. And so many times we find ourselves in a negative position. Why are we to rejoice? Why are we to have joy? Why are we to have a merry heart? Well, God loves us. God loves us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Listen, you can have a merry heart just remembering that God loves you. The God of the universe, the God that made the sun, the moon, and the stars, and all things loves you this morning. But God commendeth or showed his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. We can rejoice in that God sent his only begotten Son into this world to die for us, that he paid our sin debt. The Bible says in 1 Peter 2:24, who his own self, talking about Jesus, bare our sins in his own body on the tree, the cross, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness by whose stripes we are healed. Through the death of Jesus on the cross, we have our sins forgiven and can have eternal life. Jesus Christ paid the debt he did not owe. He died the death for me and for you. You ever been in debt? Never forget our second girl that was born and had muscular dystrophy and passed away after 4.5 months. But when she was born, we had no insurance. And so the bill was pretty high. And it was a C-section, and the hospital bill, I don't remember what it was, but it was, you know, $7,000-$10,000. I don't remember what it was. And then I was paying it out, of course. 4.5 months later, she passed away. And I'll never forget, we got a call. I don't remember exactly what happened. We got a bill in the mail from the hospital. And when I looked down on the what was owed, it said zero. Amen. I went to my wife and I said, I don't know what happened. Zero. We found out in the process of time, in fact, they never have said exactly to this day, but we found maybe through the grapevine that my in-laws had paid that debt. Had paid that debt. I tell you, that was a great burden. We already had a burden, but that was a burden that was lifted. Listen, we are all born sinners. We all have a sin debt to pay. Jesus says, the Bible says, for the wages of sin is death. That's the debt. The penalty for that debt is death, hell, and the grave. But Jesus Christ came. He who knew no sin became sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. He came and He died on that cross, not for sins He had committed, but He died for my sin, and He paid for my debt. He paid my debt. The debt He did not owe, He paid my debt. He paid your debt. Wiped it clean. If you'll simply come to Jesus, acknowledging that you're a sinner, believing that Jesus Christ lived and died and rose again, that's the gospel. That's the good news. The good news of Jesus Christ. And when you come to Him and accept Him as personal Savior, your sin debt is erased. And there's no longer that wrath of God upon your sin. It's been erased. It's been forgiven. Isn't that amazing? Man, that should give us a merry heart every morning. I know it doesn't. I understand we all have burdens and we all have cares. But we need to be reminded every once in a while. Jesus Christ came and paid my sin debt. And when I get up in the morning, I should rejoice. I should rejoice. I should lay my head down at night and be joyful that when I lay my head down, if I was to die in my sleep, that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Jesus paid my sin debt. He died for us. He was buried. But thank the Lord He rose again. Amen. For He delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scripture. They put Him in the grave, but He didn't stay there, did He? Up from the grave He arose. I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. That's good news. I'm thankful that Jesus Christ forgives us of our sins. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God. I'm thankful that when I accept Christ as my Savior, that I pass from Adam's family, Adam, the Adamic Adam, who plunged us into sin. I come from his family to God's family. And I won't sing the song, but I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. And we can rejoice in that, knowing that we've been adopted as sons and daughters into God's family. Colossians 2 says, "And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath He quickened, made alive together with Him, having forgiven you some your trespasses?" No, it says all your trespasses. I love this part. Nailing it to the cross. I love that song, "Nail It to the Cross." Nailing it to the cross. That's Colossians 2, 13 through 14. Nailing it to the cross. Jesus Christ took my sins, and my sins were nailed to the cross. It's paid for by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. The Bible says without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. And He shed His blood, and there He died. Both are required, both the blood and the death of Jesus, in order for our sins to be forgiven. And then we think about rejoicing in that the Holy Spirit, when we get saved, comes and indwells every believer. I'm thankful for the Holy Spirit who lives and abides in me. The Bible says in Corinthians, "Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and the Spirit of God dwelleth on you?" No, it says in you. The Spirit of God dwelleth in you. Jesus came and He now abides in us. Isn't that amazing? He lives within us. We are the temple of God. The temple of God. Think about that for a minute. That he describes for us the Holy Spirit and all that the Holy Spirit does for us in John chapter 16. I'm going to give you just a few of them. John chapter 16. I'm thankful for the Holy Spirit who's there, called alongside to help me. And he told his disciples, he says, when I die, I'm summarizing now. He says, when I die or when I go away, I will not leave you comfortless, but I will send. And he said, you know, send the Holy Spirit. He will send a comforter. And he did. He sent the Holy Spirit there in that upper room before Jesus died. They were gathered in the upper room at that Last Supper meal. And the Bible says he breathed on them. and they received the Holy Spirit. The Bible also states in that same that at that same time that their eyes were open that they might understand. It's amazing. It's amazing. The Holy Spirit is there. In verse 13 of chapter 16, he says, "Howbeit, when the Spirit of truth, that Holy Spirit is come, he will guide you into all truth." Holy Spirit is there to guide us, to guide us. Verse 7 says, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you." So the Holy Spirit there to guide and to comfort us, empowering us, illuminating us, convicting us. Verse 8 says, "And when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin and righteousness and judgment." And I could go on and on and on of what the Holy Spirit does for us. He is there for us. Amen? I'm thankful he is there, that he does convict me when I do wrong, that he is there to remind me to do right. He is there to empower me to do right. I think about the Old Testament where God gave all the laws, 613 laws in the Old Testament. He gave all those laws, and yet he gave them no inward unction, no inward power, no ability from him to keep those laws. But in the new economy, the New Testament, we have been given the Holy Spirit. And we have been given and empowered to live holy as he is holy, as he's told us to do. And so he has not left us alone. He's promised to never leave us nor forsake us. Listen, the Holy Spirit abides in you. If you're saved this morning, you're a Christian, you're part of the family of God, the Holy Spirit lives in you. We ought to rejoice in that. Be reminded, that's good news, isn't it? It's good news that Jesus Christ came and that he died and was buried and rose again for me. It's good news that he took my place on the cross. Aren't you thankful? That's good news. That is good news. It's good news that my sins have been forgiven. It's good news that I have now the Holy Spirit abiding in me. And then I think about the good news of heaven. 2 Corinthians 5:8 says, "We are confident, I say." This is Paul speaking now. He says, "We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord." One day, two things are going to happen to me. One of two things. The Bible says it's appointed to man once to die, and after this, the judgment. We're all headed that way, right? At God's appointed time, my life will be done. And if I die before Jesus returns, the Bible says that when I die, when my heart stops beating, when I die, that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Like that. No in-between stage. No turning into a ghost. The Bible nowhere says that a person sticks around as a ghost afterwards. It's not found in the Bible anywhere. It's unbiblical. If you see a ghost, that is not somebody returning to you to talk to you. That is a spirit and probably not a good one. Everybody understand what I'm saying? Because we do battle against principalities and powers and wickedness and spiritual things. That stuff is real, folks. It is real. But that's not your dead loved one to come back and talk to you. When a person dies, they go to heaven or hell. Like that. No in-between stage. No nothing. I don't care what the TV says or what somebody said. And by the way, they found out the little boy was lying. His dad and mom put him up to it. The little boy, they made a movie about it, about heaven. Did y'all read that? See, sometimes it's good to read Fox News. You find out a few things. His dad put him up to it. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. That's comforting, isn't it? It's comforting that I'm not going to be out in limbo somewhere. It's comforting that when I pass from this life to the next, I'm there. Now, I hope you're saved this morning. If you're not saved, the Bible says the only other option is hell. And by the way, if you're going to say heaven is real, and the Bible makes that clear, then you have to put hell there as well. You can't do away with one and not accept the other. In fact, the Bible talks more about hell than heaven by far. To be absent with the body, to be present with the Lord. What good news is that? Amen. I almost want to do a cartwheel. Huh? I don't have time. That's good news. It's good news. Heaven. Heaven is our home. And though the Bible doesn't give us a lot of information about heaven and what it's going to be like, it gives us just enough to want to go there. Amen? I mentioned the other day that the Bible never says that when we get to heaven, we'll know all things. Never says that. The verse that most people use for that is being taken out of context. That's found in Corinthians where it says, we'll know even as we are known. That has nothing to do with dying and nothing to do with heaven. That verse doesn't. So there's no verse in the Bible that says, when you get to heaven, you'll know all things. It doesn't say that at all. So I think when we get to heaven, again, this is, I think we'll get to heaven. We're going to have all eternity, by the way. I think we'll get to go into an area and hear Noah lecture. Hear Noah preach. The Bible says he's a preacher of righteousness. I'm going to get to hear Noah preach and tell me about the flood and about all those things. I'm going to get to hear Enoch tell me how exactly he was translated and how he was not, for God took him. You know, he walked with God one day and all of a sudden, he was gone. I get to hear from John the Baptist. Maybe he'll still have the camel hair and the eating locusts and wild honey. I don't know, but I'm going to hear John the Baptist preach. I'm going to talk with Adam and Eve. Hello? Heaven is absolutely about seeing Jesus. But there's going to be so much more to it. We're going to be there singing and praising the Lord. And what a great time. The Bible makes it clear that in my Father's house are many mansions, he said. Jesus, own his words. He says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. For in my Father's house are many mansions. I like the way the King James puts it. If it were not so, I would have told you. By the way, King James puts it right. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again, he says, and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Folks, he's coming again. And we can rejoice in that heaven is assured, but also rejoice that Jesus Christ is coming again. Paul said it this way. He said, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up, raptured up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, he says, comfort one another with these words. I think about Jesus saying, let not your heart be troubled. I prepared for you a place. I'm coming again to get you. Paul says, comfort each other with the understanding that one day the trumpet will sound. The trumpet will sound. You say, what would that trumpet always do? Da-da-da! But that's not what it'll be. It's going to be the voice of God. It's like the trumpet that was on top of Mount Sinai. When God pronounced and gave the Ten Commandments, all those Jews down at the bottom of the mountain, there was earthquakes and thunderings and lightning. And on top of the mountain, God would say, thou shalt not kill. And the Bible says that the voice of God sounded as a trumpet. And the people that were gathered around the mountain heard the voice of God. That'd be something, wouldn't it? One day we're going to hear the voice of God. One day the trumpet will sound. One day we will be caught up, those who have been saved, those who are part of the family of God, those who are Christians, those who have accepted Christ as their Savior, will be caught up. And we use the term rapture, raptured up to meet the Lord in the air. I'm telling you today, Jesus Christ is just waiting for the signal from his Father. We use that illustration as it's used in the New Testament, that God the Father will say to his Son, God the Son, one day, go get your bride. Go get your bride. Now, all the saved are the bride. Go get your bride. What's going to happen at that point? When Jesus returns, Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 15:51, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. In other words, we shall not all physically die. But we shall be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trump shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when the corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul says, hey, it's going to happen. I'm showing you a mystery. God is going to return. Jesus Christ is going to return in a moment of a twinkling of an eye at the last trump. We're going to be raised incorruptible. We'll receive our glorified bodies. You say, preacher, you really believe that? Absolutely not, without a doubt. One day I'll receive a body that does not get sick. One day I'll receive a body that does not require diets. One day I'll receive a body that will not get cancer. So there'll be no gravestones in heaven. I'm looking forward to that day on which we receive that glorified body. In fact, the Bible says that we'll be like Him in that glorified body that Jesus has. Knowing all this, again, the good news of salvation, the good news that our sins are forgiven by the blood of Jesus and His resurrection, the good news that the one who knew no sin died for our sins, the good news of the Holy Spirit that abides in us, the good news of heaven, the good news of Jesus' return. I love verse 58. It says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. We think about the good news. We think about the message of hope. We think about that message of the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And I hope this morning that you know that you know that you know, if you were to die today, that heaven would be your home. If you don't, you can step out of your chair in just a moment and come down to the altar, and one of our workers will show you from the Bible the good news, salvation, and how you can be saved. I hope you know that. Christians, we ought to be the happiest people on earth. We have a personal Savior who came from heaven and died for us. By the way, we know why we're here, and we know what we're living for. By the way, I'm living for Him, to glorify Him and to have fellowship with Him forever. Let us be merry. Let us rejoice. The world needs to hear good news. They need to hear the light, the gospel, the light. Don't let all the negative of this world rob you of your joy. Again, we Christians ought to be the happiest on earth. Have a merry heart. It's like medicine. And don't allow the bad news to give you a broken spirit. It will dry up your bones. I think a bit again about our theme verse, and then also kind of the companion to our theme verse in Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40, and I'm done this morning. Isaiah 40, verse 28. Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, and the Creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of His understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might He increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. I know there's got to be some here this morning that your spirit is dried up. Maybe some of your bones have been broken. Can I encourage you this morning to come to the Lord and He'll renew your strength? By the way, Isaiah 40, verses 28 through 31, is not talking about physical strength. It's talking about the inward strength. When it says, but they that wait upon the Lord, it's speaking of those that hope in the Lord. Those who put their confidence in the Lord. Those who are dependent upon the Lord. He will renew your strength. If you'll come to Him and say, Lord, I don't know what to do. Lord, I need You. And cast all your care upon Him because He cares for you. He will renew your strength so that you can soar, so that you can run, and that so you can walk that daily grind of life. He will be there for you. And we think about that for a second, then think about our theme verse, 2 Corinthians 4:16. For which cause we faint not, but though the outward man perish, the inward man is renewed day by day. You want strength? You want a merry heart? Come to the Lord. And then come to the Word every day, because you can have that renewal every day. Amen. Let's all stand. We ought to share the good news. And we're fixed to get back to school this week. Teachers and students, what a great opportunity we have to be a light to those around us. We've got soul winning kickoff here in a couple of weeks. And we ought to share the good news to our community. We have good news in the midst of all the bad. We're going to be at hymn 154 after we pray. Heavenly Father, again, we thank you for the good news that we have in your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you that he came and that he lived and he died and he rose again, that our sins might be forgiven, that we might have a home in heaven. We thank you for the Spirit of God that dwells in us, encouraging us and strengthening us and there to comfort us. And Lord, we thank you for the hope of heaven, the confident expectation one day that you will return. And Lord, we look forward to that for the blessed hope. Lord, help the Christians here this morning, our church family. Help us to not lose that joy. Lord, help us to live a life that is abundant and joyful. In Jesus' name, amen.